number 7. And I want to talk this afternoon. Brother Tony's talked about sowing a seed a while ago. When he mentioned it, I kind of giggled a little. I'm just happy this afternoon. I had a sister in the church text my wife and said, "Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm praying for Brother BJ. I'm praying for Ryder. I'm praying for Kaylee. Praying nothing but." And what she prayed over us is exactly what I've experienced yesterday afternoon, on through today, whenever the prayer was. Brandy told, it's just, man, there's power in prayer. There's power in prayer when you believe what you're asking God to do. But sharing Jesus is what I want to talk about this afternoon. Acts chapter number 4, verse number 7. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word. Sharing Jesus. The Bible says in verse number 7, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of your builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.' Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle and had been done by them and is manifested to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it.' Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you for the testimonies all around the room. Father, I thank you tonight for the prayer request that's been lifted up. I thank you tonight that we get to pray for them, Father. I pray tonight for the ones all over the room. I won't mention names because I would forget one. But Father, I pray for everyone that's been lifted up tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch them, that you would have your will and way in their lives. Lord, I pray tonight that we leave this place full of joy tonight, Father. I pray we leave this place tonight, Father, spreading Jesus everywhere we go. Father, I pray tonight, Father God, even though we know Satan is real, we know the enemy's there, we know he's our adversary tonight, we know that he's against us tonight. Father God, we still spread Jesus Christ because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, I thank you tonight that you sent your son to die on that old rugged cross that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. I pray you bless us tonight. Watch over us. I pray we get something from this study tonight. I pray they get it not from me, but I pray they get it straight from you tonight. I ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Sharing Jesus. I want you to get this tonight. Sharing Jesus. As we come through the book of Acts, we've come through with he told them to wait. They're endued with power on high. We come to chapter number 2 where the Holy Ghost had came and they started speaking in languages that they could understand. And they've come to this point now. And in chapter number 3, they done reached down and a man that was lame has done up and he's jumping and his ankle bones has got strength. But when we come to chapter number 4, Peter and John, they have been arrested. And they've been arrested for sharing Jesus Christ. And as we come tonight, Peter and John was arrested for sharing Jesus or spreading the gospel. The word of God said some was grieved in verse number 2. If you look back up in the text, it said some was grieved that they were spreading the gospel. But in verse number 4, it said some believed. Said over 5,000, up to 5,000 people started believing in Jesus Christ. Can I say to you tonight, if you'll just share him, somebody will want him. Amen? And tonight, when sharing Jesus, some will be grieved and some will believe. So why did Peter and John share Jesus? And why do we share Jesus tonight? That's what I want to look at tonight as we get into verse number 7. Why do we share Jesus? Why would two men go to jail for sharing Jesus? Why would a church be stuck out here in the middle of nowhere? It ain't for us to come and just to gather together, but it's a place that we come and we share Jesus. We get our strength. We gain strength from one another, but most of all, we gain strength from heaven. And we ask God to move on us as we go out in our daily walk and we share Jesus Christ. But tonight, I want to ask you a question. And as we look at this text tonight, as I study this, I ask myself this, why do we share Jesus? Why did Peter and John, why did they share Jesus? Why do we share Jesus tonight? And as I give you that tonight, I want you to understand this tonight, that if you're going to share Jesus, it won't be by your own power, it won't be by your own might, but it's by the power of the Holy Ghost tonight. He is what gives you what you need to share tonight, the Word of God, when you need to share it. I want to give you three things tonight on sharing Jesus tonight. I don't know about you, but it does me good when I share Jesus. Amen. When I tell somebody about Jesus, me and Brother Tony went and witnessed this Sunday after church. And as we went, Brother Tony said, and we was talking back and forth, and I said, he said, are you nervous, brother? I don't know the conversation really, but I said, hey, I'm just ready to go share Jesus. And he was too. You know why? Because I wasn't sharing me. I wasn't sharing me. I wasn't sharing Union Chapel Baptist Church. I wasn't sharing no denomination, just sharing Jesus. And tonight, when you try to share something about you, now it gets a little nervous. When you try to share about your church, it's going to get a little nervous because there's a little bit of gray area in both of them. Hey, but when you share Jesus, woo, glory to God, there ain't no gray area. It is straight Jesus Christ tonight. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and you can share him tonight, and you don't have to back up 1 minute because he is the truth tonight. So why do we share Jesus? Number one, if you look with me in verse number 7, is because we have an obligation to share Jesus, or we're required to share Jesus. Look what he says here in verse number 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? So there's their opportunity. There's their obligation to share Jesus. And then Peter Field, he said, why are you sharing Jesus? Why are you doing this? Why are you sharing Jesus? Why are you helping people? And I say to you tonight, they had an obligation to share Jesus, number one, because they had to personally share what had happened in their life. When they got here, Peter didn't look to nobody else in verse number 8. When they said, by what power or by what authority did you do this? You know what Peter said? He said, then Peter being filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, Peter didn't have to wait on the feeling. He didn't have to work it up. He didn't have to call it up. He didn't have to call the preacher. He didn't have to call the deacon. Peter being filled with the Holy Ghost had an obligation on his life to share Jesus Christ. It was personal to Peter. It said, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them. I see tonight the obligation was personal to Peter. It was personal in his life. Hey, but I know something else about old Peter. When he shared Jesus passionately. When he shared the Word of God, he didn't only share him personally, but it was a passion that was on his life. You know, you can tell if a person knows Jesus by the way they share him. Woo! You'll know if a person knows Jesus by the way they share it. You'll know what kind of relationship they have with Jesus when you ask them, do they know Jesus? You ask somebody, do they know Jesus? If they duck their head and they try to get out of the way and try to get back and try to get away, they're backslidden or they're lost. Hey, but when you ask somebody, what about Jesus? By what authority or what power have you done this? And they raise up full of the Holy Ghost and they start speaking about Jesus. They don't back down. They're personal with what they're telling. They have passion in what they're sharing. And old Peter, he was here being locked up, but he had come to a place and he had an obligation. He was required to share Jesus Christ. I want to say to you, it hasn't changed then, nothing no more different than it is now. You have an obligation, I have an obligation to share Jesus everywhere we go. Amen? I see tonight it was personal. I see it was passionate. But I see also tonight it was very powerful when he shared Jesus Christ. Look in verse number 10. Here's what he said. When old Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, and he stood up, here's what he did. The obligation that was on his life, he didn't stand up as some little weak person. He didn't stand up like maybe or I think so. Here's what he said in verse number 10. Be it known unto you all. He said, what I'm fixing to tell you about Jesus, I want it to be known unto you all. Jesus Christ is the reason that he stood up and he proclaimed what he proclaimed. If you'll turn with me to Job chapter number 23 and verse number 10, you're talking about somebody that's going through something. You say, preacher, I got a lot going on. I've got a lot going on in my life. I'm getting on every side turmoil and I don't know what to do and I don't have time to share Jesus. Hey, I don't have time to tell them about Jesus. Friends, I want you to know tonight, hey, it don't matter what you go through tonight, if you'll share Jesus, you'll be better off on the other side. Amen. Hey, when you get that obligation in your life to share Jesus, just to share that good news tonight, it'll do something in your life when you just share Jesus. And in the book of Job tonight, 23:10, you think old Peter and John, man, they was here. They was locked up for sharing Jesus. But oh, here's what old Job said. Job said, I've got it on my life too, and I'm obligated to share it as well. I don't know about you tonight, but sharing Jesus is one of the most important things in a believer's life tonight. Adrian Rogers said this. I got it recorded on my phone. I hit rewind on the TV and recorded. Adrian Rogers said that a man or a woman of God that's not sharing the Word of God with somebody, they're out of the will of God. He said, he told his big congregation there at Bellevue, he said, I'm not mad at you, I'm not upset at you, but if you're not sharing the Word of God with somebody, you are out of the will of God. Why tonight? Because that's why he saved you, to share the good news. Man, it is the gospel, it is the good news tonight that Jesus saves. Let me show you this tonight. Job 23:10, what the Bible says. Here's what Job said. But he knoweth the way that I take. He says that he knows the way that I go. He knows what I'm going through. And when he hath tried me, he said, when the Lord has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's what old Job said. He said, I'm going to keep doing what God's called me to do. Brother Eric, even when old Satan gets real, he's right in your face and you can smell his breath. Even though you may be locked up, even though you may be ridiculed, even though you may be talked about, even though you may be all this in your life, you listen to me tonight, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? And tonight I want you to get this. You say, how can that be, preacher, that you can have that holy boldness and be able to share Jesus Christ in the world we live in? There's one way that you have that holy boldness, and I want to show you this tonight to get that what you need and that filling of the Holy Spirit in your life. I want you to get this tonight. It said in verse number 8, I love this, he had an obligation to share because he's required. And look at this in verse number 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them. We'll stop right there. You know how Peter got that boldness to share Jesus? I'm telling you tonight, when you're obligated to do something, you've got to do it whether you feel like it or you don't feel like it. There's some of you got to go to work in the morning because you're obligated to be there. And you got to go whether you feel like it or you don't feel like it. When a little man wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning, me or his mama, one, we're obligated to get up. One of us has got to get up. Even though we feel like it or we don't feel like it. Somebody is obligated to do what God has called them to do. And they got a requirement on their life. And tonight, what I want you to understand is this, the peace of God that's in your life, how you have peace with God in your life. When you get saved, you have peace with God. Amen? When you get saved, Romans 5:1, put that up for us tonight. Romans 5:1, you have the peace of God. You have that the peace with God tonight. So Peter, when he was saved and he was there, he was a follower of Jesus Christ, he had peace with God. The Bible says tonight in Romans 5:1, I want you to get this tonight, that obligation. Here we go. He says this, therefore being justified by faith, by no works, no righteousness, nothing that we do. Paul said it ain't nothing that we do, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So we have peace with God. When you go into a place and you're going to share Jesus Christ, I want you to know tonight, if the peace of God ain't on your life, you're going to have turmoil when you try to share Jesus with somebody. That's right. Brother, I'm telling you tonight, you can do a lot of things. You can go and help build a church. You can build a ramp. You can put shingles on. You can do anything. And you do anything you want to do. But that's no big deal. That won't bother you. But when you start trying to share Jesus with somebody, listen to me. Satan's fixing to amp up. Satan is fixing. You share it with your family. Share it with your loved ones. Share it with somebody and see what Satan won't try to do. You can go into your Christmas, this Christmas season, and try to share Jesus with your family and see if your blood pressure, you don't get uncomfortable, you don't get something going on the inside. Why? Because you're fixing to share the most important thing in life. And tonight he says this, that we have peace with God when we get saved. Romans 5:1. Let's look at this tonight. We have peace with God. Okay? So Peter here, he has peace with God when he's fixing to share this with Ananias and the ones here on the Sanhedrin, and they want to know why he is sharing Jesus. He tells them, I have an obligation to share the Word of God. So he has this. He has peace with God. Now there's one thing having peace with God when you get saved, but it's totally different when you have the peace of God. Verse number 8, then Peter being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's different, having peace with God than having the peace of God. Have you ever been in something you didn't know how it was going to work out, but the peace of God was all over your life? When I got saved and born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, I had peace with God. Jesus Christ made peace between me and God. He made peace between me and God, and he set an obligation in my life to tell people about the good news. But look with me tonight, if you will. I want to turn here and show you the peace of God tonight. Turn with me to Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 7 tonight. I want to show you this. It's different having peace with God than having the peace of God. And when you get sharing the Word of God, and you share that gospel, and you share that good news, as Peter and John is here, you've got to have that peace of God. You've got to have that peace of God. Tonight, if you're saved, I want to tell you this, you have peace with God. No matter if your life may be in turmoil right now, but when you got saved, you got peace with God. He's at peace with you. Listen to me tonight. Romans 5:1, we have peace with God. But tonight, I believe a lot of born-again Christians don't have the peace of God. What? It's different. I have a peace. The blood sacrifice between me and God. But I want a peace of God. I want that in my life. I want to be able to have that boldness. I want to be able to have that assurance tonight when I open my mouth that I don't have to worry about what I'm going to speak, that He's going to speak through me. That's what we need tonight. That's obligation tonight. And if He's given you an obligation to share His word and He's required you to do it, can I say to you tonight, when you rely on Him, He's going to take care of it. Look with me tonight, Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 7. The Bible says, and the peace, not with God, but the peace of God. But the peace of God. Sister Riley, what your family's went through with the loss, with the death in your family, that ain't got nothing to do with peace with God. What He give you? The peace of God. When I walked in that home, there was peace of God. Peace that passed all understanding. Tonight, with all these prayer requests around the room tonight, I want you to know, I want you to get this tonight, that you can have that peace of God in your life. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding. That's something I can't understand. You can't neither. It passeth all understanding. Shall keep your hearts and minds. Satan is warring against your mind. He's warring against your heart tonight. And the only thing that's going to get us through that is the peace of God through Christ Jesus. So I see tonight, as we get in the text tonight in verse number 7 and verse number 8, I see tonight the obligation to share Jesus or the requirement. But I want to look tonight in verse number 10 as we go on through. Not only sharing Jesus is an obligation, but when you have the opportunity to share Jesus, it's an opportunity. I want you to get this. When I read this, it just sets me on fire. They locked them up for sharing Jesus. Correct? They lock them up for sharing Jesus. They ridicule from sharing Jesus. And I wrote this down. Jesus will give us the opportunity to share Him. They locked Him up for sharing and then gave them an opportunity to share. What? They locked them up for sharing Jesus. And now what do they want them to do? They want them to share it again. They want to share it again. Tonight, you keep sharing Jesus, and them people that turns a deaf ear, them people that don't listen, them people you don't think is paying a bit of attention, God's going to give you an opportunity to share it with them again. They are locked up for sharing Jesus. Then they bring them out. And what do they want them to do? Tell us by what authority. Tell us by what name are you doing what you're doing. And old Peter didn't take it lightly. He used his opportunity. Look what he says here. Look what he says. Verse number 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. Neither is there salvation in any other. And if you understand who he's talking to tonight in verse number 6 of the text, he's talking about Ananias, the high priest in Caiaphas. And you know who Ananias has done gave his position up. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like a Donald Trump. We still say president, but he's not the president. Ananias was not the high priest at this moment. He done gave that up, but they still seen him as the high priest. And he's talking to the Sadducees. And the Sadducees, you know what they didn't believe? They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe that there was a resurrection. And Peter knew they didn't believe that, but he still believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Folks, tonight there are going to be people not believe the Bible, but you cannot back down on the Bible just because you know they don't believe what the Bible says. You got to stand on the truth. The Bible says he come full of grace, full of truth, and full of grace. If you want to show somebody grace, love, and mercy, you tell them the truth. You tell them a lie, you've not showed them a bit of love. But if you'll tell them the truth, even though they may not like it, it'll be love that they'll understand. Look what he says tonight. He says this. He had an opportunity, was right, as to why he shared Jesus in verse number 10. In verse number 11 and verse number 12, the opportunity he had was real. It was real. They said, tell us how. Tell us how you're doing, what you're doing. Tell us what's going on in your life. Tonight, if somebody asks about the joy and the hope and the peace that's in your life, what would be the first thing you would tell? You have an opportunity. They've asked you, by what name or what, by what authority are you so happy? By what name and everything going on and everything going on? How do you have this peace in your life? What would you tell them? Man, I thought about that. What would you tell them? What's going on? The opportunity was right. The opportunity was real. Verse number 11 and verse number 12, he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Man, but I see the opportunity was received. He received that opportunity. Look what he says in verse number 13. The same ones that locked him up, the same ones that didn't want to hear it, the same ones that didn't want to believe it, the same ones that are Sadducees, the same one on the Sanhedrin that didn't want to hear nothing going on. They had to realize what was going on. Look what he says tonight in verse 13. Man, sharing Jesus. I don't know why he's put this in the text, where he's put it, but it's for me, I know. Sharing Jesus. You have an obligation tonight, but you got an opportunity. Look what he says in verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, that's what we don't have much of in the world we live in Christianity. You take a man, you take a woman on fire for God, and people label them as crazy. They will. Jesus freak. Bible thumper. You take a man or a woman on fire for God, and they'll say they're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. Why? Because we're not used to seeing it very often. We're not used to seeing people share Jesus on a daily basis. And Peter and John, they didn't back down from who was against them. They stood and they shared Jesus because they had an opportunity. Look what he says. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they said, these boys are unlearned. They don't know our customs. They don't know what we're used to. Do they not know that we do it this way? Just saying. Do they not know we don't do it like, this ain't how church is supposed to, hey, man, I'm glad I don't pastor a church like that. There's plenty of them out there, and there's plenty of pastors can pastor them. You know who's it? Right here, written across this pulpit. You know what it says right here? And I don't know why I put it up here. I just put it up here. And it says, they have come to see Jesus, not you. It's plastered right there and taped on top of that pulpit. If Jesus is elevated in this place, if he's lifted up, if his name's above every name in this place, if his name's above the pastor, above the deacons, above every member, he's got to be above all of us. If there's one person here's name is greater than his name, we've missed a mark. There's no other name. We're here to serve no other name but the name of Jesus. They said, these men are unlearned. You have a high priest here. And he's telling them, no, you're not my high. I have a high priest up there, amen. You don't have to pray for me. I make intercession on my own through Jesus Christ. I'm getting through. The veil's been torn. It's been ripped. I can get through by the blood of Jesus. They said, these boys are unlearned. They don't know the customs. But get this, well, my goodness. They're unlearned and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Ignorant because they relied on Jesus more than they did others. Man, sharing Jesus. They marveled. They marveled. Man, they was blown away. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. When I read that, can anybody tell that I've been with Jesus, what I said in my office? Can anybody tell that I've been with Jesus? I know this for sure. If I go down to Gulf Shores, Alabama, and lay on that beach for any length of time, no matter if she rubs sunblock on me or not, you can tell I've been in the sun. S-U-N. You can tell I've been in the sun. I'm white. You hear me? And it shows up, that red shows up. But if I've been in the S-O-N, man, it ought to show up. Just as I've been in that sun from that shining down on that beach on that white sand, just as I've been in that sun, and you can tell that I've been at the beach, I've been in the sun. Man, if I've been with the sun of God, it ought to show up. Not just in here, but out there. It ought to show up in my conversation when I'm talking to people. It ought to show up in my conduct, how I conduct myself. Not in excellency of speech, but just that people knows that I've been with Jesus. Last thing I want to share with you tonight, number one, they had an obligation to share Jesus. Number two, they had an opportunity to share Jesus, and you do too. You've been obligated to share Jesus. You'll be surprised if you just tell somebody tomorrow, man, Jesus loves you. He's going to give you the opportunity. You have an obligation. You have an opportunity, and there's an outcome that comes when you share Jesus. These men are locked up. These men are locked up. What they think is teaching a false god. False god, you go back in the Old Testament, and if they're teaching false, you know what? They're supposed to be killed. It's done. It's over with. That's kind of like a prophet in the Old Testament. If they prophesied and got it wrong, you know what they did to them? They stoned them, killed them. If they'd do that today, we'd have less prophets on TV. Listen to me. The outcome was, when they shared Jesus, they was let go. Let me show you this tonight. I don't know who this is for, but it's more, it just speaks volumes to me. Look tonight, verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they couldn't say nothing. They locked them up. They didn't like it. They didn't like it at all. But they just couldn't say nothing. Evidence is evidence, right? And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. They said, we're fixing to talk about you. You stand back there and we'll let you know what we're going to say. And here's what they said amongst themselves. What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle and have been done by them is manifested to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. I say to you tonight, the outcome of sharing Jesus is rewarding. The obligation is a requirement. Their opportunity is real, but the outcome is rewarding. In verse number 4 of this text, salvation comes to over 5,000 believers. In verse number 14 of the text, the silencers are accused. And in verse 16 and verse number 23, there's release to the one who shares. We'll share this with you in verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders said. And this is closing. When you share Jesus, I said, my last point was this, they released. They was a release to the ones that shared Jesus. If you feel like you're bound down and you feel like you're in a place right now, if you'll just share Jesus, you will not believe the joy that will come to your life. If you'll just share Jesus, if you'll just share Him, I'm telling you tonight, the outcome will be a lot different than it is right now. Have you ever wanted to share Jesus with somebody and you missed the opportunity? And you wanted that opportunity again to share it? Sometimes it comes, but sometimes it does not. Tonight, I want to encourage you tonight as your pastor to share Jesus this week with somebody. Nobody in this room is locked up for sharing Jesus. But I say to you tonight as your pastor, we are locked up. We are locked up. You try to share Him this week and see if you don't get locked up. That mouth, what you want to say, how you want to present it, what you want to say. But tonight, I want you to know this. When Peter stood with that boldness, he shared Jesus. This week, share Jesus with somebody with that holy boldness in your life. Just share him. I promise you tonight, if you'll share him, somebody will want him. Man, somebody will want him in a big way. Let us pray. Father, I love you. Father, I thank you tonight that you've put an obligation on every one of us tonight to share you. Father, as we read the Bible and we go through the book of Acts and we see where Peter and John, the boldness that they have just to share you. Father, the opportunity that you give them. Father, they're locked up in jail, in prison. And Father, you gave them an opportunity to share you again. For what they was locked up for, they got to share it again. You give opportunities. Even when we don't use them, you still give us another one. And Father, the outcome when we share you is that we get released in our own spiritual life. We release that burden. We release that off our life. We get to share about the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, my prayer right now is that when every one of us go to work tomorrow, and I pray that you answer this prayer in a mighty way, that every one of us, when we go to work tomorrow, that certain person that you put in our way, that opportunity, I pray that you show us that opportunity. I pray you show it directly to us. It comes to our mind, it comes to our heart, exactly what to say in that time to say it. Father, I ask you to do that. Father, I ask you to do that for that one tonight that's scared to share. Father, that one tonight that fear of rejection tonight. Father, I pray tonight you put that on us. And we'll know that person that we're supposed to share with tomorrow. Show every one of us in this room who that is. That we might be a bold witness. And that they may know that we've been with Jesus. Father, I love you and I thank you. It's in Jesus' holy, precious name. All of God's people said, amen.